Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I begin, just to thank Emma for signing. And I hope this will be clear for you. The scripture for this ordination day for Julian is the reading from Exodus chapter 20, just one verse. The Lord says, showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Let us pray. God, make us holy in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You've heard that Exodus 20 is the Old Testament reading that's set for this Sunday. And this day we gather for Julian's ordination. Julian, to speak just to you, Julian, Exodus 20 sets a good foundation for the ministry that is ahead of you. So let me explain why I say it is a good foundation, particularly for a pastor of the witness of the Lutheran Church. People of God gathered here today, you just heard me speak to Julian because it is his ordination day after all. But of course, this message is for all of you. This message applies to all of God's people. So sometimes you will listen to me speak just to Julian, but you are welcome to be listening in because this is God's word for everyone. Exodus chapter 20. Most of you know this is the story of the Ten Commandments. You know the story. God has delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt. And here at Mount Sinai, the Lord God speaks to Moses and gives them his law. In the Ten Commandments, and we have just heard them read for us, God declares what is God-pleasing. And we divide the commandments into two parts. Those towards serving God, such as remembering the Sabbath day. Those towards serving the neighbour, such as you shall not kill, you shall not steal. Together on this ordination day, Julian, you're reminded by this reading that we serve a God who speaks. A God who speaks. Julian, a title for pastor is servant of the word. Servant of the word. This is a reminder that the pastor proclaims the word of God, that God's people would know what God asks of them and how to live God-pleasing lives. So Martin Luther writes his small catechism. And his large catechism. He has six major parts for what is basic Christianity for everyday people. And in the order that he included these six parts, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, Holy Communion, and then confession of sins with absolution. Six parts. But do you notice that he begins with the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments. Why? He wants people to know that from this Word of God in Exodus 20, there is the true foundation out of which our good works flow as service to God. Speaking to you again, Julian. Remember I said this scripture is significant for your ordination as a pastor of the Lutheran Church. Let me explain this. Friends, we call the Ten Commandments the law. the law. This is that part of God's word that shows our sin. That shows our sin. When we hear the commandment, you shall not steal, we know this is a good guide. But very quickly, the sinful nature in us hears the commandment and figures out that maybe we've gone okay. The sinful nature says to itself, God has commanded you shall not steal. I haven't stolen a car. I haven't robbed a shop. God owes me for being such a good person. That's what the sinful nature in us thinks. But in his small catechism, Martin Luther explains what these commandments really mean as they show us our sin. Not only is there the negative side, you shall not steal, meaning leave other people's possessions alone and don't sell shoddy merchandise to people, but there's a positive side of what God asks of me. When he says you shall not steal, he is commanding me to help my neighbour with their livelihood, that my neighbour would live a good life. Now when I hold this commandment up as a mirror to see myself, I see my sin. And that my sinful nature has got it wrong. God does not owe me anything. Rather, I confess that I have failed. I have not kept this law as God has commanded me. The law shows our sin, but we do not despair. Julian Matsao, today as a Lutheran pastor ordained, you are called to be a servant of the full word of God. The full word. To properly distinguish between this law that shows our sin and the gospel which shows our Saviour. The gospel that is the wonderful message of God who comes into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. Why do we call Jesus Saviour? Because he suffers and dies for sin on the cross of Calvary. As the one without sin, he takes upon himself our sin. As the one who perfectly obeys God's law in the way that we cannot, that by his death we are given life, as we are baptized into his death and raised to new life. We call this the great exchange. Our Lord exchanges our sin for his righteousness, that we would have peace with God. This good news is a free gift, and we call it the gospel. Julian, in just a moment, I will be asking you to make your ordination vows before the people you serve. On behalf of the church and in the name of the Lord, I will ask you a very significant question. Do you promise to be diligent in the study of the scriptures and in the use of the sacraments, to pray for God's people, to nourish them with the gospel, and to lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living? And with the help of God, Julian, we look forward to you answering, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Everyone, that question that I ask has a very important centerpiece. Julian will promise to nourish the people with the gospel. From this day, he will be set apart for a very special place in the life of the and work of the church, commissioned to preach this wonderful plan of salvation in Christ. This is God's heart. This is God's heart. God, who wants to be known as the God who speaks and acts. As the God who speaks and acts as a God of grace and mercy. When Martin Luther made his small catechism and put the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 at the start, even there he wanted people to have this word of God as law, but to distinguish law and gospel. So he did something quite significant when he laid out his catechism. What did Martin Luther do that was significant? He rearranged some of the verses of Exodus 20. He cut and pasted one bit from the middle and put it at the end of the commandments. And he did this that we would focus on God as a God with a heart of mercy for us. So Martin Luther's conclusion at the end of his commandments is not really the conclusion at all. Let me explain by telling you the words of the conclusion. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. The scripture reads, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." These words make an extraordinary distinction to focus us on God's heart. First, God is firm in his command. God explains where sin is rampant, subsequent generations suffer. We have seen this in even places like Nazi Germany, where some families today still know the shame of what was done by their grandparents. But in this passage in Exodus 20, that is contrasted with the heart of God who is speaking these commandments, when God promises to show steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Those words, the thousandth generation, is very hard for me to say. The thousandth generation is to focus our eyes on God's amazing, abundant grace to us. Martin Luther explained that this part properly follows the first commandment. The first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." God says, "I am the only true God, therefore you shall fear, love, and trust me." But Martin Luther explains that this message of verses 5 and 6 about God's promise belongs after every one of the commandments. He explains, "This is a threat and a friendly promise that you and I would have a heart to look to God alone, to trust God alone, to hope in God alone." Why? Because God has been revealed to us as gracious and merciful, as God wanting to bless us. "When I see my sin, I confess my sin to God, for I know God is not set upon destroying me." God is not set upon destroying me. How do I know that? How do I know that is God's heart? Where is the revelation that God is gracious and merciful. It is in Jesus Christ. It is in the work of his cross. There I am freely forgiven all sin. Here God is revealed to me as God gracious and merciful for all time. God who dies for sinners out of love for us. Julian, this cross is the focus of your ministry as an ordained Lutheran pastor, as a servant of the word. In your preaching, to properly distinguish between God's law and God's gospel, that the people that you are called to serve would fear, love, and trust God alone, that they would have no other God than the one revealed to us in Jesus Christ, that they would walk by faith in the abundant and amazing grace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.